This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one. As our first step into the more contemplative part of the service, I invite forward Charlie Manger for our reading.
Good morning. Statement of Being by Emily Cady. God is spirit, or the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. God as spirit is the invisible life and intelligence underlying all physical things. God is not a being or a person. God is perfect love and infinite power. God is the total of all good, whether manifested or unexpressed. There is but one God in the universe, one source of all the different forms of life that we see, whether they be human, animals, trees, or rocks. God is spirit. We cannot see spirit with physical eyes. You do not see the living, thinking me when you look at my body. You see only the form which I'm manifesting. God is wisdom and intelligence. All the wisdom and intelligence that we see in the universe is wisdom projected through visible form. To educate never means to force into from the outside, but always means to draw out from within something that already is existing there. God, as infinite wisdom, lies within every human being, only waiting to be led forth into manifestation.
Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Please join me. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit in all things. Let go, let be, and receive the Spirit.
am listening to music of the Holy, Holy Spirit. Oh, what a song God is singing.
Oh, So as we sow seeds of grace this year, I thought one of the things that we could do with that is to go back to our actual roots in unity and to start to bring those back up with us. And so I wanted to focus this morning on Emily Cady and her second chapter, which is called The Statement of Being, and Charlie already read a piece of that. And I also want to combine Emily Cady's teachings with some of the Vedantic and Upanishad teachings, because they actually go together really well. So Emily Cady wrote Lessons in Truth in 1895, and it became the basic textbook of unity. Now, Emily Cady used to work for Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, and then they had a falling out, and she kind of went off on her own and started teaching and writing. And so the book was kind of absorbed by Unity and, as I said, become the basic textbook. And it's the book that sort of drew me into Unity, because when I first started going to Unity, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I used to just go, and I enjoyed it, but I didn't really know what they believed. I didn't really care. I just enjoyed being there. But when I was living in the yoga ashram and had left, I was traveling across the country, and I stopped at Unity Village as one of the places, because I wanted to stop and see a lot of the spiritual centers around the country. And I happened to sit in on a Lessons in Truth class, and the teacher said, well, God is more than can be defined. And I went, all right, so that's Brahman, I get it. And then God is in all beings. And I went, all right, that's Atman. In Hinduism, it's Atman. And we call it the Christ. And I thought, wow, here's a religion for me that is where the East meets the West. It's an Eastern theology, but uses Western terminology. So for me, it felt like a coming home in that moment, as I'm sure it has been for many of us who are here. It's like, oh, I get it. I mean, there's actually a form for me to follow this system. So I want to kind of look at all the different names that there are for God. Higher power, divine presence, spirit. What are some of the names that you like for God? Universal mind. True source. Great spirit. Mother. Father, source energy. Laura, what did you say? I didn't hear you.
Just source.
Source. Light. Power. Love. So there's all these different names that we can have for spirit. And obviously, we each find the one that then speaks to us, that holds us. And then, of course, there are many ways to define God. So again, we can define God as love, as omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. We can define love as God as power, peace. What else? Patience, wisdom, the shepherd, the Lord, creative intelligence. So again, there's all these different ways to describe God. There's all these different names of God. So for a minute, just hold on to what you perceive and define as God, and then know that it's even bigger than that. It's even more expanded than that. So as much as you can grasp what the presence of God is, what the Spirit of God is, it's even more than that. It's the unchanging principle behind all things. Emily Cady said that God is spirit, or the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. There could be no body or visible part to anything unless there were first spirit as creative cause. Every visible thing is a manifestation of one spirit, differing only in degree of manifestation. Emily Cady would also go on to say that humans are the highest form of this manifestation. Now, that could be arguable, I guess, but that was her definition. So God, so one of the analogies that I have is that God is like gold. Just imagine that God is like gold, okay? And you can take gold and you can make a bracelet or earrings or a necklace or a statue. You can take gold and you can make just about anything out of it. But, and even though there's different appearances, the essence is the same. It's all made from gold, right? And the number of things that can be made from gold is endless. Another analogy is that of the water in the ocean. The ocean contains, millions or billions of waves, right? And each wave is made up of water. But does the wave believe that it's separate from the ocean? Or does the wave believe that it's separate from the water? Just as do we believe that we are separate from God? Again, Emily Cady said, one drop of water taken from the ocean is just as perfect as the whole great body. You are not God, but you are a part of God, just as the wave, just as the water, or just as the ocean is a part of the water. So again, in staying with the water analogy, if we gather water, we need a container, right? Because if you just try to pick up water, it just runs right through your hands. And you can use a cup or a bowl or whatever you want to pick up water, but you need a container for it. In the same way, the Vedantic teachings say that pure consciousness needs a container to know itself. So in order for God to know itself, it needs you. It needs the world in order to know oneself. And the challenge with the container is, so you're one of the containers, right? But the challenge with the container is we get stuck in feeling small and limited, and we believe that this is all we are, that we're just this container and there's nothing else. And that's why spiritual practices are so important, because spiritual practices help us expand our consciousness and connect with the divine. So a meditation practice, for instance, is a way to just sort of create space. I know for me, the best way that I can practice meditation is if I set a timer. And if I'm really busy or my mind is, I'll just go 5 minutes. Like, all right, I can sit here for 5 minutes. And what I usually find out is if I can sit here for 5 minutes, I can sit here for 7 minutes, and I can sit here for 10 minutes and 12 minutes. But what I know in that timing, it's like the universe starts to just open and there's space and I can breathe and I can see. And I think what happens is when we allow ourselves to practice different techniques of spiritual practice, whether it be meditation or prayer, being out in nature, I mean, listening to Eckhart Tolle, it helps us to move beyond this container. So that we know that we're not separate, but that we are one. And it's what Jesus said when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you're a drop of water in the ocean. You're a part of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. So here's a question. Would you be able to handle it if you could actually look God straight in the face? Would your consciousness, would your container be able to handle it? So in the Bhagavad Gita, so the Bhagavad Gita is basically a story of Krishna and Arjuna having a conversation. And there's a war that's about ready to start. And Arjuna's job is to blow the conch shell. And when he blows the shell, when he makes the noise, it means the battle will begin. So he's standing there and he's looking at both sides, you know, they're ready to attack, and he sees his uncles and his cousins and his neighbors, and he's like, he's so sad. It's like, this is ridiculous. Like, why are we doing this? And so the whole Bhagavad Gita is just this conversation about why are we doing this, and what does life mean, and what's the purpose, and what's karma, and what if I don't blow the conch shell, and it never starts, the war never starts, and Krishna's basically like, it'll start anyway, you know. But anyway, so part of the conversation is that Arjuna wants to know what it's like to see God. What is it like? And so Krishna allows him then to see God in all its radiance. And he says, Arjuna says, If the radiance of 1,000 suns were to burst forth at once in the sky, that would be like the splendor of the Mighty One. Arjuna beheld the whole universe with its manifold divisions all gathered into one. Then, overcome with wonder, his hair standing on end, Arjuna bowed his head to the Lord. So you get that Juna was afraid, right? It kind of like, you know, when your hair's like, ding, you know. So he gets to see God in all of its glory and fullness, and it just which probably would do for us. Yeah, it might pop our heads a little bit. But his eyes are opened to that oneness. And we get glimpses of the divine, don't you? You get glimpses of the divine when your heart's open, when you fall in love, again, when we're in nature and meditation. And the more glimpses we get, the more we connect with the source, the more we connect with where the wave of the ocean, we connect to the water. I mean, you guys that are about to have a baby, it's like that's just like one of the most powerful, boom, experiences of wonder and waking up and seeing God. It's like, you know, for me, that's like, for all of us, it's a miracle how we all got here, really. When I was at the ashram, Swami Sava Priyananda was one of our speakers. He is the head of the Vedantic Society in New York, and he's also currently at Harvard Divinity School. And he is like the most, he's very popular on YouTube. He's got a lot of followers. But he's one of the most amazing teachers that I've ever seen, because the Upanishads are really difficult to comprehend. It's like you read them and you're like, what the heck is this? I don't even know what this is. And he's able to take the verses and then translate them and then say, this is what it means. It's like, why didn't I see that before? So I'm going to like summarize some of the Upanishads for you in like 5 minutes. So he says in the Upanishads, there are 3 states of consciousness: waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. In the waking state, we are limited by the mind and the body, and we contact the world through our senses. Emily Cady says it too in her first chapter, where she says, are we the bondage or liberty? Which is it? In other words, we feel like we are in bondage to the flesh. We feel like we stop with this container, right? And so the waking state would allow us to believe that, because we are, in the waking state, we are participating fully with our senses and seeing only what is here. The next state is the dreaming state. And so everything in the dream is constructed by the mind, and it is a reflection of the waking state. So when you're having a dream, you believe that it's happening, right? It's real. You wake up and you go, oh, wow, I just thought I was, you know, seeing whoever or talking to whatever, but it's a state of consciousness, dreaming. And matter is the dream of consciousness. So this world is the dream of consciousness. Those of you who are who study the Course in Miracles know that this is kind of one of the premises of the Course in Miracles. But the last state is deep sleep. And in deep sleep, there is no desire, there are no wants, there are no dreams. All is merged into one. And we all have deep sleep, but how do you know you have deep sleep? Because you don't remember it, right? You don't know that you're having deep sleep when you're having deep sleep. You don't know how you got there, and you don't know how you got out of it. But the deep sleep is that connection, the Upanishads said. It is the seed state. It is the experience of rest or bliss. And we go there every night. It is God in the unmanifested form. So we're in these states of consciousness every day, right? We're in the waking, we're in the dreaming, and we're in the deep sleep. And we're in the waking, and we're in the dreaming, and we're in the deep sleep. Verse 6 of the Upanishad says, that is the Lord of all. This is the knower of all. This is the controller within. This is the source of all. This is that from which all beings emerge and originate and finally disappear. So it's all the oneness. So you may be thinking, well, this is great. What do I do with this? How does this affect my life at all? You know, how does this help me when I'm having my coffee in the morning? And the truth is that our perception of God reflects in our lives and determines how we show up and how we view each other and how we view life, right? So if we, and I know we are all raised in different ways. You know, maybe you were raised where there's this Jehovah God up there who's the old man in the sky. How many of you were raised with that? Who's waiting to get you if you make a mistake, right? It's interesting, too, you know, because you know I study the archetypes of astrology, and Jehovah is a lot like Zeus, you know. He's just sort of, he's just, to me, he's just kind of a carryover of that same character. But I had a woman come and see me who was in a very abusive religion when she was younger, and she was terrified of God, terrified. And I couldn't even believe that she was able to walk into a church, especially our church that looked like a church, right? And she wanted to talk about how can God be different, and that she couldn't do anything against God because God would get her. And so I explained our theology, and she asked me if she could come to church when nobody was there, and if I would stand with her, and if she could stand in front, you know, of the sanctuary, and if she could yell at God. I said, sure. And she goes, but he's going to get me. I said, he won't get you, I promise you. And I swear to God, she stood up there, and she let loose with all kinds of words and all kinds of things. And I was like, wow, I kind of opened a Pandora's box here. And afterwards, she said, What if something happens to, I go, you're fine. And I was praying that she wouldn't get in a car accident or something wouldn't happen to her on her way home. And it didn't. But the fear in her was so great, right? And so when we study these things, it's not just a mental exercise that we're doing, like, oh, you know, we're the containers and we're in these three states of consciousness at different times. But when we do that spiritual practice, when we learn to see, wow, God is bliss, God is more than we can define, it helps us to go from the wave on the top of the ocean to going deep into the water and going, all right, we're one. And every single one of us is just a different manifestation or expression of spirit. And when we can go through life and we can see that and we can call it forth and we can know it, then this world that we live in of right and wrong and other and, you know, this and that, that we come together as one. So, our perception of God affects our worldview. So, let's take, and whether it's a personal God that you're in the loving arms of, or you're with this force or this presence, know that it's powerful. Know that it's real, and know that it's more than you can define. So let's take a moment and just breathe into this. So imagine that you are the container. You contain divine presence. You contain spirit. You contain love, power. All of those words that were thrown out earlier, the source. What is your favorite word again for God? And when you came into this life, when you took your first breath, you took on this container that we call our bodies. And although it may seem at times that this is where we begin and end, we know that we are so much more. And that just as a wave crashes on the shore, where is the wave? When our container is done, we still expand. We still live. So I invite you to take a deep breath. And again, calling forth what you know of God, and then taking it one step further. So may we touch the face of God. And even if we aren't like Arjuna, where we see the totality at once, may we be gifted with sight, to see it in one another, to see it in nature, to see it in all beings. For this awareness, we are truly grateful. And we affirm this in the name and through the power of the living Spirit of Truth, and it is so. Amen.
This is a song from many years ago by Sting. Empire of the senses, I'm the queen of all I survey. All the cities, all the nations, everything that falls my way. But now there is a deeper wave than this that we don't understand. There is a deeper wave than this tugging at my hand. Every ripple on the ocean, every leaf on every tree, every sand dune in the desert, every power we never see. I say, there is a deeper wave than this rising in the world. There is a deeper wave than this. Listen to me, girl, and feel it rising in the ocean. Feel it sweeping over land, over borders, over frontiers. Nothing will the power withstand, because there is a deeper wave than this rising in the world. There is a deeper wave than this. Listen to it now. Shed all the anger, all the weapons, all the greed, all the armies, all the missiles, all the symbols of our fear, at the still point of destruction, at the center of the fury, all the angels, all the devils, all around us, can't you see now, there is a deeper way.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys. Shine.